Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 19th, 2021. Today is Friday in the fourth week of Lent. I don't know how you're doing with reading along with me in the Gospel of John. Perhaps Lent has gotten away from you. Perhaps life has gotten away from you. That's okay. We're reading John in bite-sized bits, and you're welcome to read or not as you follow along with these reflections. But I'd like to ask you a favor. I'd like for you to take some time, sometime in the next 7 days, and sit down and read John chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. Read them all in one sitting. It won't take you that long. These chapters, the 14th through the 17th chapters inclusive, are what's known by Bible scholars as the farewell discourse. And you could argue that these chapters are as central to the Gospel of John as the Sermon on the Mount is central to the Gospel of Matthew. This farewell discourse, these sayings of Jesus, and really, if you read it, it sounds like one long monologue, and there's probably a reason for that, but it is set in a particular time in Jesus' life. Jesus and the disciples have just completed their Last Supper together. Judas has gone out to do what Judas will do, betray Jesus. This is after Jesus has washed Judas' feet, along with the other disciples. And now we have this interlude between when the Last Supper is completed and the soldiers come to arrest Jesus. And that's where these four chapters come in. One long teaching of Jesus set in such a context as to show us that this teaching is for his disciples, the people who've traveled and with him and the people who know him, hopefully, the best. Jesus begins this farewell discourse with some words that we mostly hear in the Episcopal Church, it seems like, at funerals. He is letting his disciples know that he's about to leave. And John 14 begins with these words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. That's what the NRSV says. King James Version has a much more picturesque term. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you will be also. The great promise of union with Christ, the promise that we as Christians read as the promise of resurrection. The promise that there is something beyond this life. And then Jesus says to the disciples, and you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas, God love him, every time I read this passage of Scripture, I have new affection for Thomas. He says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Thomas speaks for all of us. He doesn't really know what Jesus is talking about. He doesn't really know where Jesus is going. He might have some intimations that Jesus is on his way to difficulty, perhaps even death. But beyond the grave, Thomas has no idea where Jesus is going. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus personalizes hope in himself. You want to know the way to God? The way is Jesus. You want to know the way to truth? That's Jesus too. You want to know how to find life? You got it. Jesus. Now, plenty of people have had plenty of things to say about this verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because the next part of the verse says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, that makes liberal, progressive Christians a little nervous. We get a little antsy at any claims to Christian uniqueness. If Jesus is the way to God and the way to God can only come through Jesus, what does that mean for other people in other faiths, people who've never heard of Jesus? We get all wrapped up in what God is going to do with people who aren't Christians. And I would suggest that that is a fruitless and a futile task. It's not even our task. It's not our task to worry about what God will do with those who don't share our particular faith. We can let God deal with that. What our task is to share with other people who are interested in finding the way, who are interested in hearing the truth, who are interested in a life more abundantly. You see, evangelism isn't about convincing people or condemning people. Evangelism is about inviting people. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. As you think about your own journey, as you think about the people that you know, people who might be struggling, people who might have had some sort of connection to God, but over the years have maybe lost it or walked away from it. People who are looking for hope and assurance. What would it be like if we just invited them along? We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to be so convinced about our own opinions. Because as Jesus tells Thomas, this journey of faith isn't even about getting all our thoughts right, getting all our beliefs right, getting all our theology right. This journey of faith is just that, a journey, and we're not taking it alone. We're taking it with one another, and we're taking it with Jesus. If we say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then all of a sudden we're not talking about convincing or condemning anyone. We're talking about inviting people into relationship. And that's what this farewell discourse is all about. The relationship that not only disciples in Jesus' time, but disciples in our time can have with the living Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you think I've simply gone all mystical all of a sudden, I would like to respond to that by saying every one of us is in search for a relationship. Most of us who are religious are not religious simply because of the ceremony. We are religious because we are in search of a relationship with God, a relationship with a community of faithful people seeking to follow God. That's what this is all about. Now, in a relationship, there are some things that probably never get settled. As long as we are walking in the way of Jesus, doing our best to follow the truth of Jesus, living in the life that Jesus calls us to, there will be times when we will be uncertain. There will be times that we will have doubt. There will be times that we wonder if what we're investing our time and energy in is really real. And that's where Thomas serves as our touchstone. From time to time, when we get stuck in this relationship, when we get stuck in our walk with God, we could say, Lord, I'm lost. I don't know where you're going. And how do I know the way? And maybe, just maybe, within the recesses of our hearts, in the depths of our souls, we'll have that moment where, if we listen with our spiritual ears, we will hear Jesus speak the words that are calmly assuring. You don't know the way? I'm the way. You're looking for the truth? I'm the truth. You want to experience life? I'm the life. Come on this journey, and together we will walk toward the life that doesn't end at the grave, but the life that brings joy and fulfillment in the presence of God, my Father and yours. Let us pray. Oh God, you have given us the good news of your abounding love in your Son, Jesus Christ. So fill our hearts with thankfulness that we may rejoice to proclaim the good tidings we have received. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.